Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Phase Zero, episode 43. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jenna Anderson, and I'm joined today by Jim Viscardi.
Hello!
And Aaron Perrine.
What's going on, everybody?
If you're watching live, I missed the memo to wear orange and a baseball hat, but we'll just move on from it.
I'm wearing, longtime listeners of the show will notice, remember this shirt, because this is the shirt that got me the nickname Red Shirt Guy, because fans of the show did not know who I was when we started this, and said, hey, we love Red Shirt Guy, and that's basically where all this started. So that's I'm wearing this for them today.
Awesome. So we have a lot to talk about today. We have a brand new trailer for Morbius. We have some other pieces of MCU news. We have a little bit of stuff about Eternals. We are probably going to have a more spoilery breakdown of Eternals in the near future once the movie comes out. So, and we have been talking about it a lot the past 2 weeks. So if you want to hear about Eternals, go to those episodes or just stay tuned. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about. And starting with, we got a new trailer for Morbius. I want to get you guys' reaction first, because I feel like I'm in the minority with regards to the response to this trailer, but I want to hear what you guys thought. So, Aaron, what did you think of the trailer?
It looks better than that first look we got. I am cautiously, like, you know, cautiously optimistic. But also, it's like the Sony people got the memo from all the Venom stuff, in that dropping these breadcrumbs in the trailer is how you're going to get people into the seats. That and all the Jared Leto fans, of course, they're going to be there on day one anyway. So, yeah, I just I thought it was going. It looks cool. Looks fine. You know,
Jim,
what is this mediocre take on what was a fire trailer? This was everything that I needed from the Morbius trailer. It looks great. Jared Leto actually doesn't look terrible in this, and like it's. It's one of those things where, I mean, look, when they announced this movie, I think we all were like, do we really need a Michael Morbius movie? And now after seeing this trailer, I'm like, oh no, I understand why. This is great. I love the fact that Sony is really leaning into the, hey, we're going to take the really cool, almost edgelordy kind of characters that we have in the Spider-Man Sony universe. And we're just going to, you know, have some fun with them. And I'm here, and I'm here for it. I think the design for Morbius, where I have problems with the Venom design. I don't like the weird white veins that he has, as opposed to, like, just give me the freaking spider on his chest. Like, what the hell? but this is probably one of the best Marvel designed things I think we've seen. Like that, Mike. Him as Morbius is what I imagine he looks like. It's like what he looks like in the comics, what he looks like in animation. I love it. Mm-hmm. Gimme.
See, I do agree. Like, the design does look a lot better than I was expecting. It is weird how the initial trailer came out so long ago. Like, that was almost 2 years ago that we got that first teaser, way back in like January, February 2020. Like, a lifetime has occurred since we got that first trailer.
So it's like.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I think for me personally, it's like my excitement for this movie has basically been non-existent. Like, this movie already had the feeling of something, like we've said with Venom, that like it could have come out like 10, 15 years ago. And so that's kind of the vibe that I've had going into Morbius. And like, the trailer didn't really do anything to like the way that Venom did, of like, look at how campy and crazy and like funny this is going to be, and like how just bizarre. I didn't really get that from Morbius, which I have a feeling the movie will still deliver. I have a feeling there are going to be elements of it that I'm going to enjoy. But just off of the trailer, I was like, this is all right. I was like, this is not great. I'm just not personally the like type of fan, I guess, who is just like, oh my God, this is so incredible.
It just needs some Evanescence playing in the background. That's really
exactly. Yeah, exactly. I also just want more Matt Smith. It's like, I just watched Last Night in Soho last weekend, and I'm just like, Matt Smith has been so underused post-Doctor Who that I'm like worried he's just going to be like cast off to the side in this movie and not really have anything to do. But I just want to, I want to have some indication of what Matt Smith is actually doing in this movie. But the one thing that we do have, which as we can, as Aaron kind of mentioned, there are so many little Easter eggs and nods in this movie. It's to every Spider-Man incarnation that has existed on in live action already. We have an Oscorp tower, which seems to be the like Amazing Spider-Verse version. He references Venom by name, like he jokingly refers to himself as Venom. We have references to the Raimi movies and to like, we have Vulture show up. So it just seems like this kind of like oops all multiverse situation of just everything, every Spider-Man thing is somehow being referenced in here. What do we think about that? Like, what do we think about the fact that these movies, this movie seems to both be in all of the universes and none of them at the same time?
Man, it... I think No Way Home is going to answer a lot of these questions for us. My kind of big brain theory half joke I threw out on Twitter yesterday was basically, what if at the end of No Way Home, Tom Holland's new suit is Toby's suit? And like, That's like just the new suit. And so that's why that suit is on the poster in Morbius. And like, it's not a terrible theory, but also like, it's kind of a stretch. So who knows? I think Sony knows that they need to centralize some of this stuff, that there are aspects of things. Because I think the big thing that we have to remember is, and he could have been lying to us when he said this, right? But when you guys spoke to Andy Serkis, Brandon asked about the Daily Bugle logo and said, like, why did you use that one? And his response was like, we just wanted to throw a nod for the fans who have been on the Spider-Man bus for as long as they have. And so like, I think you can still do things like that, right? Like having the Oscorp logo be the one from the Amazing Spider-Man movies. Like you can have those nods thrown in there that says like, you know, it's kind of the Batmanification of it all, right? Like those Batman movies, like didn't necessarily have a direct line of continuity, but kind of did, and it all took place in the same world. Like we may be seeing the James Bond effect happen with Spider-Man, and it's one of those things where like they're going to pick and choose what they want for, you know, for this new ongoing narrative for Spider-Man, and like, we all may be looking way too deep into this. Like we may be looking at something that is not there. It's like when you have those like magic eye posters, right? That like, mm-hmm. if you just can't see it because there's probably nothing there. And then like, if we just wait a little bit longer, like it'll show up and it will all make sense. And so like, I get it, right? Like I get like, there's a lot of the, what is Sony doing? Like this makes no sense. And I think we have to just give them a little bit of time and a little bit of benefit of the doubt, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, what do you think?
It's interesting because Jim is right. Like we do have a propensity, especially on the internet, to weigh things too much. Like everything is intentional when sometimes things are just happy accidents or they're just trying to appease like longtime fans or whatever. I saw your weird theory about him getting Peter, like Toby's suit at the end of it and the ensuing chaos on my timeline. And I was like, it's like, is the end of No Way Home just going to be like a jersey swap, like in sports where they all just hand each other, like, here you go. And you get this one. And then,
you know what's going to happen? You're going to get the with great power comes great responsibility talk from Toby to Tom, and then mm-hmm. as a show of respect, Tom is going to wear Toby's suit. Carry on that memory.
You know, it would be super interesting. I mm-hmm. think there are some shenanigans that are going to be explained in December. Because like when Jenna, when you told me it was 2 years ago, I had to think about it. And I'm like, you're right, it was. It was literally 2 years ago. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but it's been forever.
We always forget about the lost year.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We literally were just like, oh, forgot it. Because somebody mentioned the other day, like, remember when all this stuff came out near the Super Bowl? And I'm like, no, this stuff happened Super Bowl last year. Like, Super Bowl 19. I was like, oh, no. Ugh, what's happening? So I like that they've evolved it over time. I think we'll get some more stuff. Some of this could be references, but there is a little bit too much of it. There's a little bit too much smoke for there not to be fire. I feel like the Venom joke on its own was like signaling, like, no, there's going to be something weird happening here. Just stay, keep it locked. Because do you remember that day, Jim, in Slack when they first showed the first trailer and that he walked by the poster and it was the Raimi suit and everybody was like, what's going on? Like, it was, you know, several people are typing. Very upset.
Well, I think at one point we all thought it was like a screenshot from the Spider-Man game where it was the texture of the suit like that. Like that's how far down that rabbit hole we went. Right. We're like the texture of this suit is more like the game than it is the actual suit itself. So maybe the Spider-Man games take place like are also exist in this universe. Maybe it's just advertising for the fact that it's a Sony movie. This is a thing for the game. And they want people to remember that, oh, after you come out of seeing Morbius, maybe you'll go want to play the Spider-Man game. Who knows?
I can't wait for them to just add in like the Uncharted movie somewhere. It'll just be in the background playing on a TV or something.
Tom
like
Holland is a real actor in the Sony universe.
We'll just get to that point. Well, and then the one thing that I did want to ask about Morbius, do we now think that we won't get another No Way Home trailer as soon because of all of this? Like, what do we think? Because that movie is coming out in a month and a half at this point.
When
less
Ghostbusters,
than that.
Ghostbusters comes out in like 2-3 weeks, right?
Yeah, like the 19th, I think.
We get one before Ghostbusters. I think that's really is just it, right? Like there is only so much they can show.
Yeah.
They do need to put something out for general audiences to remind them. Look, the first trailer is a great trailer for general audiences to continue to see, right? Like you got to remember the audiences that are still going to movie theaters is still fairly limited. And so like, how many new faces are coming in? Like, there's probably a bunch of people going to see Dune or going to see Eternals this weekend who have never seen the first Spider-Man trailer. Mm-hmm. And it's just as good a trailer one time around than anything else. The thing we do need is a poster, because it is really weird to not be in a walk into a movie theater and like not see anything Spider-Man anywhere. So much so that you're seeing movie theaters kind of across the country use fan art for their posters to be like, don't forget to buy your Spider-Man tickets. But I don't even think Spider-Man tickets are on sale yet. So if we get a trailer or a poster or something when tickets go on sale, and I would have to imagine that is going to be around Ghostbusters. So we just got to wait. Like, I don't think there's a conspiracy theory. I don't think Sony's doing this on purpose. I think it's just there's only so much that they can show, and they've got another big movie coming out that they can promote their other really big movie in front of.
Mm-hmm. I like that theory. Yeah. That totally makes sense. Aaron, do you want to talk about the other kind of Spider-Man news? New comments from Feige?
Yeah. So shortly after we got off air last week, we had Kevin Feige have a bunch of comments in that Empire Magazine feature. And one of them was joking about what we just talked about, keeping your expectations in check. Because if you've been on social media, if you've been on the internet in the last 2 months, the expectations for this movie have just snowball to the point where like the aerospace engineer is like child's play compared to some of the awesome wild No Way Home theories that you will find online. So Feige said to Empire, like, rumors are fun because many of them are true and many of them are not true. The danger is when you get into the expectations game of wanting people to be excited in the movie they get and not disappointed about a movie they don't get. So yeah, I guess it's like keeping all the expectations in front of you rather than like just assuming the sky's the limit. Because like, we all expect now that the multiverse is ripped open for there just to be just absolute, you would never imagine seeing this on film from this movie, but we still don't know. We still haven't seen anything else. We see stills. We've gotten a lot of mean templates from Marvel and not much in the way of what actually is happening past the beginning. Because if you believe Brandon Davis, all this stuff we've gotten is from like the beginning. He's like, none of this, like, I feel like there's so much of it being faked there's so much of it that's just from the first act of the movie that we still don't know a ton about it. And I kind of believe the same sort of thing.
Kevin is pushing this comment through gritted teeth.
I know.
In that, right? Like this is a thing that he has to say to keep up appearances and mm-hmm. whatever, but in the back of his head, he is going like, well, this movie is, I mean, everyone, like, the thing you gotta remember is that like, there's always this swell of like people on Twitter being like, you know, oh my God, it's like spoiler. I'm like, no, we're wrong. There are spoilers left and right on Twitter, right? But the majority of the people that are going to go see this movie or whatever else that you're going to see is like that the general audience has no idea. And so this is just, you know, Kevin playing coy for, you know, for everyone who reads his every word on Twitter to, you know, just to be like, God's still going to get you. But like, we know, they know. Let's just wait. Let's just enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jim, do you want to talk about Tom Holland's comments?
Yes. I like on the same front, right? We have Tom Holland basically freaking everybody out that this is going to be his last Spider-Man movie. And I get it. This is Tom Holland, I feel, has been able to move away from answering questions about Andrew and Toby and has been able to just like throw a red herring out, being like, well, you guys, this may be my last movie after all. Now no one cares about Toby and Andrew. They need to know if this is going to be Tom Holland's last Spider-Man movie. So much so where he goes, one more day's work on No Way Home, which will be a bittersweet day. I honestly don't know. He honestly doesn't know when he will be back. He goes, it's the first time since I got cast as Spider-Man that I don't have a contract. And it's just really difficult for me to talk about because there's so many things I'd love to talk about that would help me embellish on what I'm trying to explain, but I can't because it would just ruin the film. And so it has I used this analogy earlier, right? It's got big James Bond energy, right? With mm-hmm. just what Daniel Craig kind of had to go through to dance around a lot of what he had to talk about or had to dodge with James Bond. But like, we know Daniel Craig is not coming back as Bond. Do we believe Tom Holland is leaving this movie? Leaving this franchise? Probably not. Is it possible? Maybe, but I would imagine with all the boatloads of money, he's just going to cut a better deal and we get a new trilogy and we get something else. But like the other thing that we need to kind of realize here too, right? Like Sony, I don't think is going, like, is Tom's contract up with Marvel? Maybe. Like, right? Like, does he just continue on in the land of Sony? Maybe. And then like, is it a thing where when he is needed to come back for a big event like, you know, Secret Wars or whatever, they figure something else out? Great. Like who knows? And I think that's kind of the fun and the mystery. And as much as I know we want to know everything, I don't think it kills interest in anything, really. Like, it's, if this is Tom's last Spider-Man movie, it doesn't mean I'm not going to go see it. Am I going to not see Marvel movies because Tom Holland's not Spider-Man anymore? No, probably not. We just got to roll with it and just trust that, obviously they see the numbers. They know what's going on. They're not going to ruin this.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I think like all of the doom and gloom of some of the comments of how people have been interpreting certain things, I see it as just like the next trilogy of movies that we could get are going to take them out of high school and put them into college. And so that is why like John Watts has been over here being like, this is the end of the line and whatever. Also, we do have to acknowledge that Tom did say one more day in there.
Right.
Like, yes. That is very choice wording over there. Like that's something else. Right. But I also think it's this thing of, we don't really know at the moment, we could know in the near future, of like what Marvel movies are planned beyond like mid 2023. We don't know when we're going to get the next Avengers movie. We don't know if and when Secret Wars is going to happen. So I think it's this thing where if we're getting, like, we're probably getting more Tom Holland movies in some capacity, but we don't really know where he could show up elsewhere in the MCU. So right. I agree with you. I think it has to be some sort of contractual thing of, like, we're not at this point yet where we can publicly say, like, we definitely know what movies he's going to be in, the way that we did when, like, Homecoming came out and we knew he was going to be in two Avengers movies and a sequel and everything else. Aaron, what do you right. think?
Well, it's funny because it's a half-truth, right? Because he's technically not under contract for one movie. There's another team up that he's scheduled to be in that's undefined, that we don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe this Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness, but we don't know that yet. So it's not like it's the complete end of the line. I think it's more than a lot of, like, well, I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna be in one of these by myself again. But mm-hmm. I think Chris Killian and them in the comments are right. There's just too much money. Like, people enjoy his version of the character. Like, you know, they wanted to keep Andrew Garfield around despite the performance of Amazing Spider-Man 2 because people knew him as the face of Spider-Man at that time. They're not going to ditch Holland after all the money that they've made and the money they're poised to make in December, because mm-hmm. I feel like
I am going to play devil's advocate a little bit.
Oh boy.
Because there was a time in the very recent future where we did Tom Holland was not going to be in the MCU anymore. And, like, that was a very real thing that could have happened. They figured it out. They made nice, but that almost happened. And so I don't, like, that's not to say it won't happen again. I think they have learned since that, right? Like, and they have like figured all that out, and we should take that as our hope that they will keep this train on the tracks. Mm-hmm.
You would hope so. I mean, Feige said in the same interview that, we won't have that happen again. He just flat out stuffed that. So I don't, but you can never know. You can never say never, right? Like, we're referencing things from the before times 2 years ago mm-hmm. when the entire internet was freaking out about Tom not being Spider-Man anymore. And we went through like half of a summer of everybody be like, oh man, we're not going to get the third one. And here we are, what is it, 70 days or whatever away from mm-hmm. No Way Home. And no one thought that was possible in the summer of 19. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, like, we're not gonna see the end. We're not gonna see the end of him here, regardless, because there is one more team up thing where he's going mm-hmm. to pop up, but we just don't know what it is. And we'll see. Right. Also, I need them to stop saying one more day and referencing these things in these comments. Mm-hmm. Even if they're doing it accidentally, it is excruciating.
Maybe they're just preparing us. They're preparing us to forget Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Because Charlie Cox, I think, in a quote we read a couple weeks ago, was like, be careful what you wish for. And it's like, now you're quoting the trailer unintentionally. Like, you're like triggering all of us and you don't even know it. So, Aaron, do you want to talk about Doctor Strange?
Sure. So, as is normal now, we get some random details or at least some like speculation from merch that drops before it's supposed to possibly be out in the public consciousness. So there's a merchandise already kind of trickling out about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. It's a puzzle, which is very funny. Of all the places you think you're going to get Marvel news from, puzzles is not usually one of them. I need to post up in more Target toy sections and Walmart toy sections, apparently. So there's mm-hmm. It's a adult puzzle and coloring pad, which I did not know about that was a thing that they sold together until this morning. And you can see the cover art where there's a battle scene playing out with Doctor Strange and Marvel villain Shuma Gorath, which has been long rumored to be the villain in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Now, it's not live action. There's no CGI. This isn't us seeing Smart Hulk in a different suit out of context like all those years ago. But it is a little bit like, why would we have that there if that wasn't going to be a part of this somehow? And also, I think there's some other merch flying around of America Chavez, right, Jenna?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a pair of sweatpants that has like her and Strange and Wanda and Wong on this side of a pair of sweatpants. It's like this.
It literally looks like something that it looks like someone's Etsy shop.
It
like,
does.
It's, on, it's an Amazon listing. It says it's official. It has. There's plenty of other officially licensed stuff there, but it literally looks like something someone made on Etsy.
It does make me happy though, because America's doing the like pose that she does with her arms, so that I'm like I'm content here, even though this is grainy as hell and it's on a pair of sweatpants. But yeah, it is like we're at this point with these movies, and it's like I know this movie did get delayed. So that is part of the reason why merch is trickling out before we've gotten trailer poster, before we've even gotten No Way Home, which is kind of the prequel to it. So it's like, I knew this stuff was inevitable, but it is so weird to just have, especially with Shuma Gorath, where that's a character that we've been speculating about for like the better part of a year, it feels like. Like when What If came out and we all were like, is that Shuma? Is that not Shuma? Like, what are we dealing with here? The fact that we're seemingly getting the answer and it's on a puzzle is just very, very odd. Jim, what do you think about it?
They have told us, like, anytime that we asked about the squid-like beings in What If, they have said it is something else. It is not it. Look, yes, it kind of looks like that, but it's something else. And I almost wonder if like they really are not lying. It's just a weird thing for them to say if it was, right? And I think the gap in my comic knowledge, and so I've got to double check this. I can't remember if Shuma Gorath is a race of aliens or if he is just like one big mamma jamma, like who just happens to look like that. And honestly, it's just a gap I've got, and I meant to look it up and I totally forgot. But like, I mean, maybe. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to see Shuma Gorath. I think that he is like, he's been used in the comics very recently in a very, very cool way. I loved him in Marvel versus Capcom and all the Marvel games. Like, I think that was like my first introduction to him. I'm like, who the hell is this like stupid squid guy? And then I read more and I was like, oh, I love this guy. And so I just don't know. It seems like a weird fit for, Multiverse of Madness to have him be in that, given what we know about some of the other things that are going on there. But then again, Multiverse of Madness is really not as a movie we know enough about, but not totally, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe he does fit, and maybe like that, maybe it does work. And so, so who knows? I think this is one where, to go back to our good friend Kevin Feige's quote that says, you know, rumors are fun, rumors are or whatever, but let's manage our expectations. And I think this is very clearly a let's manage our expectations until we get like a more definitive yes or no there. Mm-hmm.
I will say, I was just like looking up your question about whether or not every like ancient being looks like him or not. The old ones, from my understanding, can look really different depending on like what their deal is. And so it seems like Shuma is the only one who looks like Shuma. So that might help kind of narrow it in a little bit, but I completely agree with you. Like, I think we're at this point where it definitely seems to hint like it's Shuma Gorath, but like, as we've seen, merchandise leaks cannot always be the most faithful. Yeah.
Lego ones are the most guilty, right? Like,
and there was like that one Funko Pop for like Iron Man 3 that never ended up being in the movie. So it's like, this is a thing that we've dealt with before. There is always a chance that this could somehow be wrong or not what it seems, but it still is kind of interesting in and of itself. One more thing before we go to break. Kit Harington talked to us about Black Knight and what his future might be. As he told our very own Brandon Davis, quote, "It is the first time Marvel have spoken to me about any character. And this character, obviously there's a lot you can read on the internet about who he is and what his background is. As far as this movie goes, he's a human who's in love with Cersei and represents humanity. You know, as far as any future goes, I can't really comment on that, but I don't think there's any. I actually think there's quite a big difference between him and Jon Snow." So people have been kind of wondering, like, what is his future as Black Knight? Are we going to get to see more of him? Because not having seen Eternals yet, from my understanding, the movie only starts to scratch the surface of what his lore starts to be. So what do we think? Do we hope that he is going to continue on in some capacity? Because I do. I need as much Black Knight content as possible.
Go ahead,
Aaron. You go first.
Okay, I hope that there's more of him. You would hope so. Like, you bring in someone like Kit Harington, and obviously you want them to be there for more than just the one movie. Like, obviously. You want him to stick around. And, you know, there's also the fun of, you know, the threat of when are you gonna change? When are you gonna get the big sword and do all the cool stuff? Like, we want that to happen. So you want him to come back. I think it's interesting that he's like, this is different than Jon Snow, though. Like,
yeah,
because everybody loves to jump to that because of Game of Thrones, of course. And this is like a big Game of Thrones reunion in a way, too. But like, he totally is like, ah, if you think it's going to be exactly like that, you might want to pump your brakes. The theme of today's show is you might want to pump your brakes. You
manage like, expectations.
Patience. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim. I think there's two things here. I think the biggest difference between him and Jon Snow is that Black Knight is inherently funnier. And so like, so we've got that going for us, but also too, we're about to verge on a time where think about nostalgia, right? Nostalgia being a powerful drug or whatnot for a lot of people. The Black Knight is an A-list level Avenger. Like he has been, you know, kind of all over the place in the MCU, but he was an Avengers member for a very long time for a lot of people who followed Avengers at that point. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's zero possible chance that this, like he's just a side character that goes nowhere. This is a thing where like, look, we are going to see more. We have to see more. Like that, like you said, you don't cast Kit Harington for a throwaway role kind of thing if you don't have big plans. I just want to see the knight armor and the bomber jacket and for them to go nuts. And so I'm all in for that. I honestly, like for me, I have no real affinity to the Black Knight. So I'm kind of excited to learn how the MCU character will develop but also go back and do some reading as we see it. So I'm excited. So like I said, I'm excited for it and we'll see.
I completely agree. I have hope that we will somehow get to see him in his full glory. Otherwise it feels kind of like a CW show of like, we're going to cast a character with a comic accurate name right. And they're just going to be a civilian for the entire run of the show. Maybe if you're lucky, they might like homage or wear their costume eventually, but who knows? So it's like, I'm hopeful. It's like, we have to get him at some point. But yeah, we're going to take a 1 minute break. And when we come back, we have a little bit more news and then we're going to take some of your questions. So stay tuned.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Phase 0, episode 43. We're back and we have a little bit more news to talk about. Aaron, do you want to talk about the other kind of Eternals quote that was of note this week?
Sure. So we got Chloe Zhao talking about that the fact that there were 2 characters cut from Eternals while speaking to fandom. There were 12 characters when I first read it, 12 Eternals, and we had to let 2 go along the way. So for people who think there was a lot of characters in this movie already, there were 2 more at one point, which I don't know if that is good or bad. Me and Jenna have famously not seen this movie yet. And every single opinion I've heard, if you go back and listen to episode, what was it, 33 last week, you get the wonderful Chris Killian. Hi, I see you in the chat making me laugh and making me smile. And Brandon Davis talking about the opposing opinions of this. And if you want even more very, very stark opinion about this, Kofi Outlaw over on Complication. Yeah. Lots of opinions. You don't have to look very far. So how do we feel about the fact that there could have possibly been 12 Eternals in the movie instead of 10?
Jen, yeah. I'll let you go first.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I want to hear Jim's opinion because I know you can see it. But part of me is like, I could see a version of this where 12 characters could work. I feel like looking at something like The Suicide Squad, I think it's just a matter of like how they fit into the narrative and who is given significance in what sort of way, and not trying to give everybody an equal amount of screen time. That might be where the problem is. I'm more just like morbidly curious of like, who are the other two Eternals? Cause I can't think of any off the top of my head that are like, oh my God, these are glaring omissions from this movie. And I'm sad that they're not here. I can't think of who they would be, but Jim, I want to hear what you think about this.
I think the obvious one that they probably cut was Zuras, right? Because I don't think you need, and that's not really a spoiler, right? Zuras is not in the movie. If he was, I feel like that's someone you would have seen in promos or whatever, right? And I think just given what we've seen even in promos, Ajak takes on that role in the film that Zuras would have filled. And Zuras, for those who don't know, was basically like, he's kind of like the Odin of the Eternals, basically. And so that seems like an easy one that was probably included that got cut. As for the other one, honestly, I'm not sure who that would be. I have thoughts, and I think if outside of Zuras, any other Eternal I may mention may be a spoiler. And so okay. So I'm gonna like just pause there, and we could talk about it next week. But I think, like I said, Zuras is the easy one to count out because. Just his position in the comics, we would have known that like right from the get-go. But look, like I said, like there's a lot of story in this, and there's a, you know, the through line of this movie is getting the band back together, and there would not be more time to, you know, make a stop to add two more people to the team kind of thing. So I get it. And it probably for the best. It's not like we're never going to see the Eternals again, right? So it's not like they're, you know, yes, they may got cut, but you know, maybe they show up somewhere else. So I think it's a smart choice, given what, you know, I've seen of the movie, nothing to get worried about. Now, like I said, it's not like anyone's like, oh my God, my favorite Eternal got cut. Cause like all the other ones are all in there. So it's, you know, it's right. And like, and anyone who says that, you know, like, oh my God, my favorite Eternal, like, are us. We're the only ones who have favorite Eternals. The diehard nerds have favorite Eternals. And when you see the movie, even if you are a diehard nerd like us, you're going to come out with a different favorite, I promise you.
Mm-hmm. Casually cosplaying in the chat did suggest Little Icky. So,
no, could be. Could be
Little Icky. Jim, do you want to talk about what Zazie Beetz said to us earlier this week?
So we got to talk to Zazie Beetz about, you know, look, that's the big thing that's lingering out there. Are the X-Men characters coming? Which one of the X-Men characters are coming? We know Deadpool is back in some form because of that super random Korg promo for Free Guy, right? So are we, so what happens to the rest? What happens to Josh Brolin's Cable? What happens to Zazie Beetz's Domino? And so when asked, you know, she told us like, I'd love to revisit Domino. I'd love to do it in Deadpool 3, 4, 5, 7, 19. I've always wanted to, be like, maybe I could just go do an origin story. I feel honored to have been able to depict her on screen, and I played with her as her. I love her, and I would be more than happy to revisit her on camera. And I think I will. If Disney doesn't make it happen, I'll make it happen. That's as much of a confirmation as I think we are going to get that Zazie Beetz, she's coming back. And it's just a matter of time for when. That's a look. We spend a lot of time reading tea leaves and deciphering PR code speak, and this one feels like a easy slam dunk. Like that's and man, how could you not? She was so freaking good. Like that's a whatever way they find to do it, I'm excited for it, because like that, I love Domino. I like Domino as a character. I love her as Domino, and so I just want to see more of that.
I agree. I think like she was one of the highlights of Deadpool 2 for me. That is a movie I have a lot of problems with, but like she was just so good. And I feel like Domino as a character has so much potential even outside of X-Force and outside of Deadpool, to where it's like you could still find a way to weave her into the MCU and find something to do with her that wouldn't necessarily be contingent on Deadpool 3. So I'm happy to hear that she is still so excited about this character, and that she, even if Marvel doesn't want to, she still wants to explore more. Like I think that's just awesome. Aaron, what do you think?
Keeping people who have good interplay with the stars around is usually a good idea. And her back and forth with Ryan Reynolds during Deadpool 2 is a highlight of that series for me, because it's like you think, because there's a lot of like this goes into like a larger conversation about like how some of the goofier X-Men powers, how do you render them on camera? And I think they did the best they possibly could. I could watch an entire movie of weird Rube Goldberg traps of her getting out of them the entire time. That would be dope. I'm perfectly down. You know, like I'm completely here for it. So
give me that Domino heist movie. That's what I need.
Right. Oh my God. Like, right. Yeah. What's the guy who does Money Heist going to do after Netflix, the faucet dries up? Get him over here and have him do that. That's fine. Let's do that. Absolutely. Good. Please. So we don't have that many things about Deadpool 3. And the more things you hear like this might give you some inclination like, hey, you know, maybe we look out for her to be back. You know, we wonder what elements they're going to pull into the MCU. And there's no doubt in my mind. Like that is something like, yes, save her. Yes, save Negasonic Teenage Warhead. I'd even say save the dude who played Colossus. I really enjoyed that. From both those movies. So, yeah.
She either goes in, she either shows up randomly, or she's a post-credit scene somewhere, like her and Deadpool and maybe even Cable, right? Like I think that it is just a like I can see it being like Cable doing one of his time shifts at the same time that Doctor Strange is doing his spell in No Way Home, and like that's how like he slides into this universe, like he slides into the wrong time, some stupid comic shit like that, right? I just can't wait, and it's gonna be it'll be fun, and I think we'll see her sooner than later.
I hope so. And then our last piece of news is from the book, The Story of Marvel Studios. This book is just the gift that keeps on giving. I feel like we're gonna be having quotes from this book for like the next 6 months at this point, because people just keep reading further and discovering more stuff. So Luis D'Esposito said, with regards to one-shots, which are a thing that we have not really seen in the MCU for quite some time, we're working on them. It's just finding the time. And I have a couple earmarked that I want to do. What do we think about this? I think the one-shot concept is like drastically underused. I think now that we've expanded so much further outward and we have so many other pockets, I think there are so many one-shots that we should be getting in phase 4 that we have not gotten already. So whatever they have planned, however they're going to do it, I am very excited. What do y'all think?
I think that you're right. Like they don't use it nowhere near enough. I don't understand why they don't use it more, because there's so many things that like the connective tissue of this whole thing that could be explained through a really well-directed, well-shot, one-shot project on Disney Plus that don't necessarily warrant their own movie, but I would absolutely sit through like the little short film treatment of it, and it's available for you. You need stuff to go on Disney Plus. It checks all the boxes. I don't know how we're just getting to the point now where someone's like, you know, we should start doing the one shots again. It just makes all the sense.
Right. And like, they don't need to be crazy big budget, right? Like one of them just takes place in a convenience store for God's sake. It's like I would love for these to be like the Pixar shorts that you just start to get in front of Marvel movies, where you just get a one shot. Like, you don't have to get every in front of everyone, because we get 4 Marvel movies a year now, but pick one a year where you stick a one shot for, or maybe, you know, 2 that you stick a one shot in front of, and then inevitably collect them. So I can just watch all of the one shots at once and just enjoy them as little anthology story, you know, kind of things. And so, they're great. And like, I love, they can tell little stories that happen in between beats that we want, like you want a little bit more of. And I think that's it. Like that it's just a phenomenal concept. I really hate that they've like, Not that they've let it sit by the wayside, because I think they've had other bigger things to try and do, and they've needed to figure out. Like, honestly, I think the biggest thing that probably threw them off track is probably the purchase of Fox, because mm-hmm. I think they probably had a plan for certain things, and then they had to kind of like reshuffle how they do things, and then the Disney Plus stuff happened, and so they had to get the TV shows, you know, up and running and get all of that. Like, that's all, I'm sure, like, screwed with their plans. And, you know, I mean, look, if by us not getting the one shots means we get a TV show for Moon Knight, I'm okay with that. Like, that's fine. If not getting a one shot means we get WandaVision, I'm okay with that. But I think now we're at a point where it looks like they have figured it all out, how it all shifts into place. The schedule doesn't look like it's going to change that much more. But let's start folding these things back in and then make them theatrical event kind of things.
I agree. That would just be so much fun. And it's also like, I feel like with certain one shots, you can also showcase like the style of how a certain part of the MCU is going to be realized. Because like we had that with like the Thor one that Taika did before we even saw Ragnarok. And it's like, oh, this indicated to people right away that the style and the tone of this movie was going to be completely different from the previous two. So it's like, you can also use those to your advantage of like, hey, are you excited for this thing? And we want to show you it more than just a post-credit scene. Here's a one shot that's kind of teeing up whatever that thing is going to be. So right. I hope that they bring them back and do it soon, because it is just such a cool thing that they can do. But yeah, so that's it for our news for this week. We do have a little bit more time, so if anybody in the chat has any questions, we can answer them.
We'll say we all need to have all eyes on November 12th.
Yes.
That is the Investor Day. Mm-hmm. Where it's probably going to be a doozy. And so get ready. I still remember the rush of the last one where we literally got 12 Marvel announcements in the span of 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like Kevin Feige just boop, 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 walks on stage and boom, 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 announcement. And I was just like, oh my God. So I'm hoping we get some first looks at things. I believe we'll probably get some first looks at things. I hope we get fun new announcements. I mean, that'll be a lot of fun. I mean, this is an event where we, you know, even at the site are going to be calling in extra reinforcements for, we're going to get Star Wars stuff and whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do an emergency episode, like mm-hmm. literally after whatever Marvel drops. So mark that on your calendar, because we're probably going to do it. And I just remember how much fun the first one was when we did that. That was before Phase Zero was even a thing. So
yeah.
That
was honestly one of like the professional highlights of working here was covering that day. That was bananas in the best possible way.
Constant. Several people are typing in Slack.
It was just the entire day. Like that was just bananas. Yeah. So let's see. So go ahead.
I say we got a question in chat from Bun Bun the G. Why do toys come out before films? So this is a tricky question to answer, because they're not supposed to, or they're supposed to be timed pretty close. And so they've gotten a lot better in that, like the non-spoilery stuff is usually supposed to hit, if not after the first wave of marketing has gone out, like almost at the same time, right? A perfect example is when we got all of that Spider-Man No Way Home stuff, the merchandise, and then we got like no trailer. Like I fully believe we were supposed to get a trailer that day. And like something happened where they pulled it and it didn't happen. And so that's why we got that first. Same thing happened like you have to look at the most recent stuff as almost completely out of anyone's control because of production slowdowns, supply chain issues, movies being moved around. All of that stuff plays into when merchandise gets released. And there is like, if merchandise shows up early, it's probably because there is no way that they could have stopped it at one point. Like it was on the boat to the store It gets out. Someone opens a box somewhere. It is what it is. It's unfortunate when stuff like that happens, because I feel like sometimes we get a lot of first looks that are like low res and crappy and on sweatpants and, you know, things like that. But at the end of the day, it's like it happened. It doesn't just happen with Marvel. It happens on the WB side too. It happens with any big franchise stuff. Like, I'm sure we'll see it, you know, when Transformers comes out, when that movie comes out next year, right? Like, it's just a thing that happens that they try to line up as best they can, and you know, when nature has its way, it, you know, it just is. So it's a good question, because I think we see that a lot.
Absolutely but
yeah, so anyway, that's
that. Yeah, because it's been interesting, especially this past 2 years, because especially with Black Widow, like, right, all of the pops and all of the merchandise for that were on clearance and already sold out by the time the movie actually got released, because of, yep, just like all of the COVID delays and just people's expectations of when the movie was supposed to come out versus when it actually did. It's like, I know I don't have even remotely any of the Black Widow pops. I only have two, because they were the only ones I could hunt down once the movie actually came out. So it is just this thing where, given the world that we're in and given the supply chain of it all, it's like, yeah, that is going to happen. It's just weird when it does happen. So yeah.
On the flip side, Eternals pops are almost impossible to find. I think Bucky Stan mentioned it. Like, they got stuck on they got stuck on a boat. They were supposed to show up on time. They're stuck. And now we got to, you know, now we have to wait. And so we've seen the two extremes with Black Widow coming out crazy early, and Eternals is going to come out probably by the time the movie shows up on Disney Plus.
Yeah. And so, even like the Disney Plus shows, it's like they usually wait until the week that the show premieres to start putting out pops of, like, it was like, oh, here's like a Loki and a Mobius pop, and you can't get them until like 3 months after the show's actually over. So it's just, I think they're just trying to navigate like what the new normal is and how to not spoil people with stuff. It kind of bums me out, because I'm like, I wish I could buy Hawkeye merch before Hawkeye came out, but I know we're not really going to have that luxury. I know those pops are going to like drop as the show drops, but it's just kind of a thing that you have to deal with. And so I don't blame them for waiting, but it, because otherwise we do get these weird first looks in merchandise or on sweatpants.
I need them to get all of this. Like, they need to figure their shit out by the time Moon Knight comes, because I'm not having that with Moon Knight. They need to be ready for me to get them.
That's me with She-Hulk. It's just going to be like every She-Hulk thing. It's like, I need to be able to order it as soon as possible. So, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. I think this was just such a fun show, and the chat was having so much fun, which was great. Aaron, do you have any parting words or things to plug?
Well, I guess we just have to wait till next week. I think we have something special planned. We can't say too much more. We have something special planned. You're going to want to come through, especially if you like Eternals. You're going to want to come through. And follow me at Summer Lake Hornet, now that I've teased that before Brandon got a chance to.
and for people asking where Brandon was, he took a sick day. He has reasons for doing so. We miss that he's here, but he will be back soon. So
just tweeted him and tell him you miss him. That'll make him feel very, very special inside.
Absolutely.
Brandon as well, thank y'all for coming through to the Spider-Man watch party last night for Amazing Spider-Man. Yep. It was a lot of fun reading the tweets. I was enjoying like looking at the secondhand, because it's like there are a lot of people that still really bang with this movie. We are going to be happy to see Andrew Garfield again. So thank you guys. We'll be back for Amazing Spider-Man 2 next week.
He is. Yeah. All right, Jim, what do you have to plug?
Nothing other than just to plant my flag again that says Andrew Garfield is the best Spider-Man, and I don't care what you say, whatever. And like I said, look, there's a bunch of really good fun stuff that these folks have cooked up over the next couple of weeks. So definitely you're not going to want to miss next week's for sure. You're not going to want to miss the Disney Plus Investor Day, because we're going to get so much goodness. And if you want to see more of my bad jokes, you can follow me at Jim Biscardi.
Perfect. But yeah, echoing what Jim said, we do have a lot in the pipeline that is going to be very cool. I feel bad that we can't exactly tease what it is right now, but I'd rather wait for Brandon to help tease all of that, since he's the one who coordinated most of it. But yeah, just stay tuned. We're going to have a lot between Disney Plus Day and Eternals that should hopefully be very fun. And follow me on Twitter at Hey, It's Jenna Lynn. You can follow the show at Phase Zero CB. Don't forget to subscribe and all of that, because it is greatly appreciated.
And please leave us a review on iTunes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, it's one of the best ways to support the show by mm-hmm. like no joke. It's one of those things where love chatting with you guys on Twitter. Love that you guys are always tweeting when you're watching us. But if you can go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, that is one of the best ways to support the show. It helps get us into the iTunes algorithms for people who are looking for Marvel shows and things like that. We love our day oneers. We love our you know, folks who just joined today. We love all of you.
Absolutely. And yeah, so be sure to do that. Go see Eternals this weekend and read some comics. I'm always going to tell you to read comics because you should definitely do that. But yeah, have a good day and take care.